Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, folks. Good to be with you. We're going to begin today with drawing ourselves back to the Gospel of Luke and this reading. We hear this from Jesus after his resurrection, having gathered his disciples with him. He says, "He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" This week, Christians globally mark and celebrate what's called Pentecost. Pentecost is the sending of, the giving of, the clothing of the person, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this week, we remember that reality, and we land right in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus gives his disciples this promise: "Stay and wait. You will be clothed with power from on high." What does that mean? We want to talk a little bit about that today, the giving, the sending, the clothing of the Holy Spirit. And we want to do that in a couple of ways. In a few moments, Dave is going to share a teaching, but we'll start now with a little bit from me. I'd like to share with you not only what we've been learning through the Gospel of Luke, which is what we are often focusing on, but today a little bit of my personal experience of the Spirit of God, the person, the power, and the presence of the Spirit of Jesus. When I think about my experience of the Holy Spirit, I'm taken back to my teenage years. I became a Christian when I was a young child, and as a teenager, I would attend church, and one particular moment I remember being in a church gathering when we were singing songs of worship to Jesus, and I found myself on my knees with my hands raised up, worshiping God. And as I was trying to focus my attention and my devotion on Jesus, somebody came by and they laid their hands on my hands, and I sensed the deep and profound love and presence of Jesus in and through me. It kind of overwhelmed me. I knew in that moment that I was encountering someone real. I sensed such a great love in my heart, and I felt filled. I felt filled by something, by someone. I was kind of a young teenager at that point, and I didn't really know much about the Bible. I didn't really know much about who Jesus is. I certainly didn't know all that much about who we would say the Holy Spirit is. And yet I had an experience, an encounter, where I knew I had met with God. Over time, the next couple of weeks after that, I continued to investigate that. I would keep going to church and talk to my friends about it. And one day I was just in the shower and I began to then speak in a different kind of prayer language. I had been told that sometimes what comes with a filling of the Holy Spirit is also an ability, a gift to speak in tongues. And so I did that for that first moment in the shower. I remember it really like it was yesterday. And those tongues, that prayer language, has stayed with me ever since. I'm 40 now, and I think this happened when I was about 14. Those words, that language, is language that I still use and pray through today. I use that language when I don't know what else to pray. It bubbles up in me when we're singing songs in church. I received that experience. Coming alongside that, though, wasn't just about me, wasn't just about experiences. In that same season, I felt very drawn to pray, and not just to pray for myself, but to pray for others. Started to pray for my school, and me and a couple of other people felt that we should start a prayer group in our school because we wanted our friends and the teachers in that school to know the love of Jesus as we were encountering it. So we went to a principal of our school and asked if we could host a prayer group. And he said, sure, you could do that so long as a teacher is willing to open up their classroom for you to do so at a lunch hour. We kind of chose Tuesday lunch hour. And a woman in our school, our science and math teacher, opened up her classroom. And her name, some of you may know her, is Laverne Tischer. And I love Laverne now, but back then she was my science and math teacher and I did not like her then. But it was that moment that I learned that she was in fact a Christian. And she welcomed us into her classroom and said, you can pray here during the lunch hour. So we did. Just a small number of us would pray every lunch hour for our friends, for our school. And some of those people in our school ended up becoming Christians. They ended up coming to our church. They ended up meeting Jesus. And some of those people, even right now, are serving Jesus around the world. Their lives were truly transformed. As a teenager, I had these powerful experiences with Jesus of getting to know him, his gospel, the Holy Spirit, and that translating to me wanting to share about him and being empowered to share about him through the Holy Spirit. But then in grade 10, a pretty tragic thing happened in my life. I lost one of my friends. She died suddenly. And that shook something in me. For many years after, I was very cold and dry to the things of God. I would stand in worship services, even as a young adult when I was in Bible college, and I just felt numb. There was no connection. There was nothing going on. It was a long and protracted season of dryness. And what I had first experienced of the Holy Spirit as a young teenager, I thought I might never experience that again. But that season was also a season of learning for me. I had an experience, I had a season of experience with the Holy Spirit when I was young. And then I had a season of learning about the Holy Spirit when I was a young adult. I was in these Bible classes and we were talking about God, which meant we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And I learned some key things about who God is, what God's like, and who the Holy Spirit is. I remember one particular moment being in a class. We're in this class called pneumatology, which is a really fancy word for simply the study of the Holy Spirit. And we were talking with this expert in the class, a really kind of famous scholar on the Holy Spirit. And we're trying to sort it out as undergraduates do, figure out all of our questions because we were going to sort it out. We were going to be the first generation that had everything cleared up. And we're asking all these questions about God and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And at one point I looked up at him and I said, so you're telling me that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And that is a very complex question, but he had the confidence to say simply, yes, yes. And what I learned in that moment and then following on from there as I got to know Jesus better was that what I had witnessed and experienced from Jesus, his love, his authority, his compassion, his patience, his gentleness, what I have expected to know of Jesus, I could also expect of the Holy Spirit, the same character of God that I see in Jesus in the Gospels, I could experience through the Holy Spirit daily. And with some of those insights over the years, that numbness started to turn into feeling again. My openness to God and God's Spirit began to grow. And it wasn't as if as if a river was rushing in, but there was a trickle. And that trickle grew and grew and grew over the years. I even started pastoral ministry. I would say not necessarily walking in the Holy Spirit, but leaning on my own understanding, my own strength. And over the years, that has shifted as I've turned more of my attention to trying to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, for me, that means just trying each day to give my attention to the Lord and to say, Lord, I want to be present to you because I believe you are so accessible by your Spirit. I want to walk with you and know you and listen to your voice throughout the day. I want you to fill me with a capacity that I don't have in myself to be patient and kind and gentle and self-controlled, to evidence the fruits of the Holy Spirit that we read in books like Galatians. Lord, I need you to give me the words, the insight, the direction each day with my family and friends and my neighbors and those that I work with and those that I serve in the church. And daily, that's the adventure of walking with God's Spirit as he's promised us, Jesus promised us, that he will give us his Spirit for everything that we need, that we will be clothed in the words of the Gospel of Luke with power from on high. In fact, something I've done for many years that you may not know is that as I'm getting ready and walking up maybe the steps even in our church here physically to preach, one of the things that I say under my breath is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, which is to say, I trust that God's Spirit is present and real and can do more than I can do in my own strength. Now, as I kind of reflect on that, I think very back to the beginning when I first encountered the Holy Spirit, when I was on my knees as a 13 or 14-year-old with my hands raised. I wasn't a preacher then. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a boy. I was just a boy in a sea of people. And God, by his Spirit, met me in that moment and gave me an imagination for my school, gave me love for the people around me. He clothed that 13, 14-year-old boy with power from on high. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have all the answers. But God said, if you're open, I will fill you. I will bless you. I will love you. And I will direct you in my purposes to working in my kingdom. And that's a little bit of my experience. I could share so many different examples of what it means and has looked like for me to walk in the Holy Spirit. And many days I feel like I'm really just only beginning to learn. And most of my focus is just prayers like, Lord, help me to remember today that you are present and available. Fill me today. Give me everything I need. And doing that continually throughout the day. Pentecost Sunday is a day for me that makes me deeply thankful for the available and accessible presence of God to each and every one of us. And to remember the instructions that we hear from Jesus to his first disciples, to wait to be clothed with power from on high. And I think that those instructions go for us as his followers now as well. Thanks for listening a little bit to my story. And we would invite you today to reflect on your experience of the Lord, your experience of the Holy Spirit, whether you'd say, I feel like I have none, or I feel like I have a lot. Where's God drawing you today on Pentecost Sunday?
Thanks, Luke, for sharing your story so authentically. Your story, a bit of your story, of your spiritual formation that has been guided and led by the Holy Spirit. As we take a look today in Luke chapter 24, we do want to end in a similar way, asking ourselves, how has the Holy Spirit led and guided our story? And so we look forward to concluding with that. But before we do, we return to the scriptures that Luke read off the top in Luke chapter 24. Again, as we consider the context of those words and instructions, we do see that these are final words and instructions by Jesus prior to his ascension. And it seems the intention of Jesus, among many things, is to help the disciples continue to sort out all the moving parts of his story. And one of the big priorities, it seems, is to solidify in the minds and hearts of the disciples the word spoken in Luke chapter 24, verse 48, which says, "You are witnesses of these things." Perhaps this is a bit of a capstone statement, maybe best thought of as a declaration over the disciples' lives. Again, realizing in just a few verses, Jesus will ascend and hear these final words of attention, reminding his disciples that they are witnesses of these things. Again, we appreciate the larger context. What are the things that they have been witnesses of? Well, as we discussed last week, this list includes a few things. All the things that had been written about Jesus coming to pass that they were witnesses of. They were witnesses, of course, of Jesus' resurrection, for there in their very midst, in flesh and blood, was Jesus, the resurrected Lord. They were, of course, witnesses of how repentance led, or the preaching of repentance leads to salvation and forgiveness of sins. But as we introduced last week, we noted that there's one final thing that it seemed to be so important to Jesus that these disciples would witness. And in order for them to witness it, as Luke read earlier, he instructed them to return to the city of Jerusalem and wait specifically for their personal witness of being clothed with power from on high. It's worded this way, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Well, what happened to those instructions? Well, the disciples did follow Jesus' instruction from this text. And as we read in Acts chapter 2, they did witness themselves being clothed and endued with power from on high. To our advantage now, Luke, actually, the writer of the gospel, kind of follows the narrative and records that story in Luke and Acts chapter 2. And furthermore, through his second book, records all the events and all the details of the infilling and subsequent outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. Jesus's promise being, responded to, and of course fulfilled, person after person, people witnessing themselves being filled with the Holy Spirit. As Nida said, I find it so interesting. After all these years of studying in the Gospel of Luke, today we find ourselves in this passage on Pentecost Sunday, a very important day in the life of the Christian church, which does lend itself a most natural and normal question. What is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? So as we zoom out a bit to appreciate this final instruction, why was it so important for Jesus to have that final invitation and request? Well, again, as we continue to understand the gospel, once again, Jesus' priority is what he wants for his disciples, second to what he wants from them. And again, to help us appreciate this, we return to Scripture. How interesting it was when, in many moments of impasse of instruction and experience, Jesus pulled his disciples aside and said, let me remind you of what the Scripture says, starting with Moses and the prophets all the way to their personal experience of that day. So again, let's consider why that interest that these disciples would witness the Holy Spirit is so important and seen in Scripture. Tyler Stanton, in his book, The Familiar Stranger, points out from the creation of man, we see God's interest to have a relationship with people, has always carried a vision and an interest to be near, to be among, to be with human people, to be with us as people, as his people. And so that narrative is appreciated from the first days of human creation till these days in which in 2025 we consider the realities of Pentecost and the invitation which is still given to all people. To build and strengthen this relationship, God devised plan and design for human relationship, which is first seen in the Garden of Eden, and then is seen later in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the pattern was to follow God's instruction to build a tabernacle. People did build a tabernacle upon his destruction, and they benefited greatly, and they were witnesses of God's infilling of that tabernacle. And oh, it created a narrative and it created experience. What is a tabernacle? The word tabernacle means dwelling place or tent. The tabernacle was a portable sanctuary that accomplished two goals. It allowed God's people to draw near and worship him, while at the same time clarified and established the magnitude of God's holiness and people experiencing that. The building of the tabernacle helped people recognize the truth of God's holiness simply by its design. They enjoyed worshiping him in reverence, fear, and awe. And yet God, who is loving, provides a way for people to draw near. God loves his people, and drawing near is his great act of love. And in the Old Testament, Garden of Eden, the building of the tabernacle, people witnessed his presence. We see how God would fill the tabernacle with his glory and his presence. God with his people, supernaturally and personally. And again, God's people were witnesses of these things. Well, as Jesus, God's son, was born, he lived to fulfill the law and practices of the Old Testament. He did this as God's son and as he tabernacled amongst us. The New Testament describes Jesus as a tabernacle filled with God's glory. Furthermore, Jesus spoke about the temple of his body in John 2:1. The New Testament tabernacle occupied the unique category of a movable sacred space, and people witnessed that. And again, in Luke 24, these disciples had witnessed Jesus as the tabernacle of God, and they so benefited from it. Wherever their tabernacle was set up, that place became sacred because God was there and the people could communicate with him through the then and the there. And people were taught, healed, forgiven, and delivered. And again, this created Christian narrative and people witnessed it. People were not limited to one geographical location, for Jesus moved with them and led them. And biblical scholars say this was the closest parallel to the idea of God walking in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. So as we follow the biblical narrative of God seeking to create witness for his people, we see that the glory of God that had filled the tabernacle in the Old Testament had filled the body of Jesus according to a New Testament covenant. Jesus there living, breathing, walking, a tabernacle. And again, disciples were witnesses of these things, and oh, the benefit. Of course, as we've read it and as we've studied the Gospel of Luke these last few years, Jesus went around acting like he was the tabernacle. The reason that Jesus so often found himself in so much controversy was because he did a whole bunch of things outside the temple that you were only supposed to do inside the temple. He offered people forgiveness of sins. He came teaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That was only ever heard of in the temple, here in the streets. Jesus, the tabernacle of God, was making a way for people to be witnessed to and have a relationship with him. So again, back to our text. Prior to Jesus' ascension, he invites his disciples to receive the Spirit, which they did in Acts chapter 2 and 4, and subsequently through all the book of Acts, and so forth, from my story that I shared last week as a middle school student receiving the Holy Spirit and witnessing the imparting and indwelling presence of God. Subsequent Luke Knight sharing his story just a few minutes ago of how still today God is creating a witness for his people. But why so important at that time? Well, there's three reasons. Because Jesus, the tabernacle of God, was ascending to heaven. So what to do about God's presence on earth? These believers, his disciples, needed to witness for themselves what it was to be like to be filled by the very Spirit of Jesus so that believers would now become the tabernacle of God on earth, God's dwelling place. And therefore, our world having a witness as has been God's heart and desire through the Old Testament, New Testament, and still in 2025. There's still a need for a place in the world where God's glory dwells. And the answer by God's current design, that is the church, not the building or structure or governance, but all the collective lives of Jesus' followers who are filled with the witness of the Spirit. Secondly, the witness of the Holy Spirit within a person gives courage and confidence as they would witness daily that God was literally with them through a relationship confirmed through His Spirit and, of course, through the physical things and the physical manifestations of a person filled with the Spirit and all that comes with tongue, utterance, and, of course, a clear witness to the people in the world today. And of course, the indwelling Spirit creates and sustains character and transforms a life from good for good and godly reasons. And this ongoing witness of Christian life and living is needed, was needed, and is needed still today. The gospel being needed to be carried to the ends of the earth through the tabernacle of God, the people of God. And so God has called and empowered people, the church, to be these witnesses of what they have received so that they could tell others that they can receive as well. So as we see in this simple text where Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things, this has been God's heart, which has been on full display for thousands of years, God demonstrating his love and a desire to be with us. He has so much for us. He has always wanted to witness to us his love and his presence. And as was recorded in Luke 24 of the disciples, it says, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? May that happen in our lives this very day on this Pentecost Sunday. May our hearts burn within us for a revelation and a relationship with the Holy Spirit who wants to witness to us this very day, our families and our church. So in summary, what seems to be of high importance prior and heightened alert prior to Christ's ascension is God continuing to establish a witness in this world. Again, Old Testament, Garden of Eden, Old Testament, Jesus, and now the empowerment of people like you and me to be the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God on earth. So as we close, let me ask you a personal question. Appreciate so much Luke sharing authentically his journey. What about your journey? Let me ask you a personal question. What comes to your mind when you would read of God's intention for you, where he said to the disciples and he says to us, and you are witnesses of these very things. You are witnesses of these things. What has been your witness? What has been your experience? Revelation of Scripture, a revelation of salvation, and on this Pentecost Sunday, a revelation or a witness of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Such a normal and natural question to ask on Pentecost Sunday. I would imagine in some of the answers we'd hear things like available, curious, hungry. I want all that God has for me on this very day and in the days ahead. I would imagine some would say, hey, I have a little bit of caution here. I have a few questions. I'm a little skeptical about this whole narrative of the Spirit filling me. Maybe with questions we we find perhaps a little bit of a pause. We ask each other today to be honest. We ask each other to be authentic today, and may we, as we close this simple gathering today, may we take one step in a positive direction, a step that would say, God, I know that you love me. I know that you want to witness to me. Help me as I get my Bible out. Help me as I pray. Help me today as I open up on this Pentecost Sunday my heart to be witnessed to by your Spirit. I long for a deeper and more intimate relationship with you. And if that would be the Holy Spirit doing a new and fresh thing in my life today, I open my heart to that because I know that you on this very day have so many good gifts for me, and I open my heart to you. Can we pray that as we close this gathering today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today that you know our need. We thank you today for your heart to be a witness to us. We thank you for the potential of scriptures being open to us and our hearts burning within us as you reveal your heart and your love over the years and even this very day. Lord, we thank you in Luke 24 for the revelation that those that repent will be saved. And we pray for courage. We pray for that witness of the Holy Spirit that there is a grace and a mercy for us this very day. And Lord, how appropriate as Christians around the world recognize Pentecost and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We do pray, oh God, that as we give you permission today as we open our minds and as we open our hearts to you, that you would witness to us through that good work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that good story of Luke Knight today and how gracious and how wonderful you've worked in his life for so many years. We thank you for our own stories and where we're at. And we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Fill us afresh with understanding. Fill us afresh with the revelation of your love. Fill us afresh with an understanding of your power that seeks to be at work within our lives, that we would know you and that we would be capable and strengthened to live every day for you. We love you, Jesus. We care so much for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, I just say in closing, thank you for today. Thank you for studying scriptures with us today. Maybe some of this conversation has raised a few questions for you. There are many on our pastoral team that would love to talk further with you about what God is up to in your life and just share that Christian experience with you. You can head to our website. There's a page there where the names and faces of our pastoral team and ministry team are listed. And on those pages, you can find some contact information. Love to hear from you. Love to be a part of what Jesus is doing in your life these days. And if there's any way, myself or Luke, Knight, or anyone on our pastoral team that could come alongside you, we'd love to do that. We'd love to hear from you. But again, thanks for joining us today. God bless you. Have a good rest of this day. See you soon.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.